Hey, folks. This is Cross. I just want to give you a little check-in. I know that this episode is a little bit unanticipated inside of our lineup for a couple of different reasons. This week was supposed to be our episode talking with Neil about his reactions to Stormlight Archive 5 and kind of wrapping up that arc and that idea on the whole with someone of whom has only read the Stormlight books themselves. So I'm excited to have that conversation. This week has not been one that's allowed for that to happen for a myriad of reasons. To start with, PJ and I were hoping to get back on schedule and to continue being able to get ahead of our recordings as it happened with the heroes. One of the problems that we ran into over this week, or not problems, one of the speed bumps that we ran into is my family's dog very suddenly passed away this last week. And so it kind of knocked us completely out of our recording schedule. I wasn't able to talk cogently for more than a day. In addition, I started a brand new job simultaneously within the same week. And obviously PJ has a kid. So there's some structure problems that we're kind of going through and dealing with. Simultaneously, we're very excited to get back to the heroes. We both read it. We also, for a patron read, where PJ's finished, but I am deep into Dungeon Crawler Carl. We're very excited to talk about those in the near future. And like I said, bring back Neil to kind of wrap up the sort of break episodes and put a nice little bow on that and give us some other space. We'll be recording one more episode talking about American Queen with Kelsey from Books and Baddies. And the episode that I'm presenting today is a Books and Baddies episode for all of the reasons that I've cited before this moment. I'm very excited and proud of this podcast. This maybe comes off a bit demure just based on the way that the week went, but I'm so excited for you guys to get to listen to this. We were encouraged in part to even start this podcast because of the positive reaction to the Baddies episode that happened almost 2.5 years ago. So I'm very excited to kind of see those next steps kind of bloom outwards on the show. That said, this book that we're going to be talking about today is one of the, and theme, concept, genre. This is one of the tropisodes, as we call them, over on Books and Baddies, that podcast. We're talking about Omegaverse, and this is a very interesting concept. It's something that's spun out of fan fiction, and we'll get into the specifics deeper into the episode itself. But I'm very excited to talk about this. I read a book in preparation for this, Bride by Allie Hazelwood, and we get to talk about that in addition to kind of the larger ideas. And then also I get to talk about a little bit of a lawsuit and bring up some of the history that I'm aware of within the space. So I hope personally that you guys enjoy this. This is an episode that doesn't necessarily require context. It doesn't require that you read any of these books, but I hope you have a fun time with us having a fun time talking about these things more deeply and interestingly. A final note here before the episode kicks off. We will be returning to the heroes very soon, and we'll resume a pretty normal schedule shortly. Again, the only two episodes that I foresee coming to interrupt the schedule a little bit is the Stormlight Archive, of which I believe we're going to do next week, if not the week following. We'll see based on release schedules. We want to get you guys deeper into the heroes and continue our journey into the first law so that it doesn't throw off other schedules for other people. And then in addition, we want to get to the heroes. PJ and I have already chatted a little bit briefly in text message about cheese traps. We want to talk so much more about everything that's there. So other than that, I hope you have a great weekend. I hope if you have fur baby or families that you care about deeply, you love them and give them as many hugs and kisses as you possibly can. It's been a weirdly tough week. Just a tough week. but we appreciate you very deeply, very personally, and hope you have a great time with this episode. And if you want to listen to more, check out Books and Baddies. We typically put out episodes bi-weekly. We take little season breaks between to kind of reconfigure, read a bunch of books, and then kind of come back and approach the tropisode, bookisode idea. And so we're nearing the end. After this, the next two Books and Baddies episodes are adaptations, of which I also take a big part in, and Outlander. So that'll be the wrap for season two over there. So give it a listen. Thanks. Books and Buddies.
Welcome. We're Books and Baddies,
a reader's podcast for hotties who read hot books.
From YA slow burns to all out monster fucking.
Join us as we break down shame,
embrace sexuality,
chase romance butterflies,
and find joy in the literature that calls to us.
If you were that kid reading in the back of the classroom,
this podcast is for you.
Oh, shit.
What? Oh, my God. What? Oh, my God.
Welcome to a new format.
Yeah, you heard that right.
New format.
Daddy's allowed to talk. He's been let out of his cage. We're putting him on the air.
Yeah.
For a special occasion.
Yeah, special
just
edition.
For a little treat. A little treat. We're also
a
forcing him to do this.
Treat.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Should we start off with some what we're reading right now? Just quick and dirty? Or yeah. Long and dirty? But definitely dirty. Go for it.
Definitely dirty. Mine is now dirty. I'm Tiff, and I'm currently reading the graphic novel Something is Killing the Children by James Tynan IV. I really, really loved Nice House on the Lake last year, and the first two were in my top five of last year. They're really good, spooky, surreal stories that also have like mystery in them. And so now I'm trying his other really well-known series, Something is Killing the Children. I'm reading the first novel.
Ooh.
First graphic novel. Yeah.
Love.
Kelsey, what are you reading?
Cool.
Not dirty, but delightful. I'm also not dirty, so I don't know why. Don't know why I came in hot with that. But hiya, I'm Kelsey. I am currently almost done with The Beauty of Darkness by Mary E. Pearson. It's the third Ooh. Remnant Chronicles book. Big shout out to Mary for basically forcing me to read it. I love that she did it. I'm having so much fun.
Yay. That's exciting.
Mary, not yeah. present, but never forgotten.
Exactly. Cross, what about you?
Yeah. Hi, I'm obviously Cross, and I literally just before this finished Bride by Ali Hazelwood. We literally pushed the recording a little bit so that I could fully wrap it up and like put notes and thoughts down.
But
so
not
I'm very appreciative there.
Up.
Right, right. Unwrapped entirely as a part of the trope and genre. but beyond that, of which I just read and consumed over the last 2 days, right next up, I have the Monk and Robot duology that I
yes!
as well, which I'm very excited to read and talk about in a couple of future episodes in Words and Whiskey. And then for fun, I'm still reading, based on the last recording that we just did, Blackhawks, is sort of the regular book that I'm reading, but I had to put it aside because I had to
Thank
read
you.
This.
Thank you for putting your priorities in the correct order. We appreciate it.
Yes, truly.
We didn't force you to do this. You're actually really excited and super into Omegaverse.
I am. No,
and you were like...
I also volunteered for this, for the record.
Yeah, you did.
Like, this is not a voluntold thing.
That's, you know, that's actually... I'm glad you're saying that because it will sound... otherwise, but I'm really proud of you for finishing Bride because it's a we'll chat about it a little bit. It's a great introduction to
Omegaverse.
I wish I
could have started a bit earlier, but yeah.
Yeah, that's a you
thing. I wish I would have given myself more time. Yeah, that's on me. But
that sounds like a personal problem. Yeah. You can always reread it again and again and again and again. Yeah. But before so we're going to use Bride. We had Cross read Bride because it's great to like introduce to the Omegaverse genre. And we're going to use it throughout the episode as kind of like a touch point to explain some of the parts of the genre of Omegaverse. So if you've read it, great. If you haven't, that's totally fine. By the end of this episode, you're going to know all about nodding and you're welcome.
Yeah. You'll feel like you've read it.
Yes, exactly. It'll be in your soul.
Yeah.
But yeah, before we get into that, I was thinking I could just rattle off some history of Omegaverse because it's a super obscure, but now a little bit more popular genre of books. Just some quick background. Omegaverse, which is also known as ABO, which stands for Alpha, Beta, Omega. It's a subgenre of erotic fiction. Basically, it's based on this idea that there's a dominance hierarchy that exists in humans, with dominant humans being alphas, neutral humans being betas, and submissive humans being omegas. We're going to get into that later. I'll let Tiff tell us all about it. But basically, this structure dictates how people interact with each other in both romantic and sexual contexts, and then sometimes how they interact in societal contexts, too. Some fun background. Omegaverse originated in fanfiction. We have a little treat for y'all later. We're going to get Addie to talk to us about fanfic and Omegaverse. But obviously, it started there because that's where most good things do. Mm-hmm. Specifically, Omegaverse started in the Supernatural fandom. Did either of you watch Supernatural?
Yes.
It's my brother's favorite TV show. Really? And so upon his request, I have watched it a good amount. And so I haven't watched everything. But yeah, and Supernatural also is like a kind of just a big hub for fan fiction in general. So it's not crazy to me that it spun off of this, but I didn't expect it.
Yeah,
there's a lot to build on in Supernatural. I think the funniest part about the fact that Omegaverse is like the beginning of it we see in the Supernatural fandom is that it's not like Supernatural characters, it's the actors.
Yes.
If I remember correctly, it's not Dean the character, it's Jensen Ackles, the man.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's okay. Yeah, it's funky. It's funky. So to your point, yes, there's a ton of Supernatural fan fiction. With Omegaverse, it was basically where fanfic authors blended werewolves and like basically like bunk werewolf science. Like, we know there aren't really those the alpha, beta, study. Omega. Yeah. Yeah. Pack dynamics. It's not real anymore, but it's fun for a plot device, I guess. But basically they blended that like werewolf, wolf, bunk science and male pregnancy. That was like Emprey who was like the leading like fight for this genre, which mad respect. We love to see it. There were, chef's kiss. There were a few different fics published in like the mid 2010s that really started the genre of Omegaverse. So a lot of those were what Tiff said. It's about basically getting Jensen Ackles pregnant. Like, they just wanted to get that man.
Yeah.
They just want to breed that man. And you know what? Hell yeah. Tim, did you feel that way when you watched it? Were you like, yes? You
know? No.
Me neither, for the record.
I can see where people would feel that way with that man. I relate too much to Dean as an eldest child.
Yes.
Trying my best. I'm a Dean girly for life. So I did not feel the need to get Jensen Ackles, the real man, pregnant. But I
did for completely different reasons.
That makes sense. That tracks for you.
It does. It really does.
That's the least surprising thing you've said.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jensen Ackles, submissive and breedable. What can we say? Well, outside of Supernatural, Omegaverse also grew in popularity and spread to a bunch of other fandoms, which included Sherlock. I mean, we know like Super Hulock, X-Men First Class, Teen Wolf, Glee, Doctor Who. And I had to know if like these were still like how bumping this was on AO3. And I searched just the other week and there are 204,000 works under the Alpha Beta Omega Dynamics tag. I'm sure there's way more, but that's just that one tag in the Omegaverse genre. So there are a fuck ton. And now there are also traditionally published Omegaverse books, which I think we should talk about if we feel like it. Do we feel like it?
Yeah. I kind of want to return to the form that we invented during our spooky book episode and create a new scale similar to the patent pending pumpkin scale, but now it's like, I don't know, we should come up with something slutty for the
not scale
to be a
slick scale.
Yeah. Oh my god, pretzel slick scale. Yeah. Yeah, slick scale. Slick. I like slick scale. Let's do that. How much slick is in supply?
See, I thought pretzels would be good because they're tying it together, you know, like a whole thing, but I like slick. I'm in.
We all like slick.
We all like slick. There's a like body wash that is called Slick, and I do need to try it at some point.
Oh, yeah, I'm right there with you. I need it too. We need it. Do you remember the brand? Do you remember what it's called, Tiff?
No, but I can look it up. It is the only thing that is called that.
Can we get an affiliate link?
Oh my god, please.
Yes.
All right, well,
Atomic Pylon is an approved affiliate of many...
including Slick, the body wash.
As long as it's on Amazon.
We will talk about what Slick is in a little bit, I promise. But Cross, do you want to start us out with, like, Baby's first Omegaverse book?
Yeah, yeah, I totally can. Obviously, we've referenced it a little bit already to begin the episode here, but my first Omegaverse, and I think baby's first for most people, if you're looking for an introduction, a great place to start is Bride by Ellie Hazelwood. It takes a lot of the tropes and twists them in interesting ways, and I know a little bit more, we'll get into why later, but it takes kind of the idea of Alpha and Omega and it wraps it in, but it also adds in this additional coat of vampires and werewolves and humans kind of being a part of these three groups. There's some political intrigue, there's twins, there's tropes all over the place, which are great and they play really well, I think, if you're really into this. And I think it's a great place as an intro to the subgenre. To talk a little bit about the book itself for just a moment, quick summary. Our girl, Misery Lark, has spent most of her life as a political prisoner of humans to keep the peace between vampires and humans. Even after she's released, she then finds their company preferable, as she has a best friend, Serena, who has suddenly gone missing that she kind of needs to find and chase down on her own. Her father then sends her off to be a political prisoner again, but this time in a marriage to a were-alpha. And from there, hijinks ensue. There's sort of a budding tension relationship, maybe, maybe not. There's a little will they, won't they. There's a great dynamic with a little 9-year-old or 10-year-old kid, which is just excellent, with Anna, in addition to kind of a look at the hierarchy and the ideas, I think, that are present as a foundation for ABO going forward. Beyond this, I can't really contribute to like what I think the slick rating should be or anything like that. That's on you guys. If you've read more than I have, but it feels very intro and approachable.
You are baby, and it is your first Omegaverse. Yes. So it's baby's first Omegaverse. It's perfect.
Yeah.
I also just love that Allie Hazelwood got a nod on the New York Times bestsellers list, which is just
absolutely iconic behavior.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mother.
Great. An enjoyable read. I have my own individual gripes, but I think I had a good time still.
Good. I'm glad you had fun.
You have man gripes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which don't count. So anyway, Tiff.
No, they're not real.
Super fair.
All right. I would say that the next level up would be The Alpha of Bleak Isle by Catherine Moon. Catherine Moon is kind of like, in my opinion, she's kind of the Katie Robert of Omegaverse to me.
Same.
Like,
same.
She writes so much of it and it's all so good, and I'll just eat it all up. Thank you so much, Catherine. Thank you for this meal that you are giving me. This one is like kind of Regency era, which I don't normally like love a Regency, but in this it worked so well. It also had dragons, and like I think it's pretty well established on the show and also in life that I am such like a dragon girly. Yes. I am just big fan. The hot alpha dragon goes feral for his Omega and is so into her that it like becomes potentially problematic for others. Also, his name is Lord Ronson, which is just a hilarious name, in my opinion. and I just, I appreciate a good book that balances, like, there is some story here. It is mostly, and the story that's there is, you know, is Merwin. Is that how you say her name? Because I feel like when I read it in my head, it sounds like I'm saying a name with an accent wrong.
Yeah.
It's Merwin.
Merwin Cozy. Yeah.
Merwin Cozy.
I love how fucking nasty and hot that book is. But what I really, really loved about it was Merwin is like a very, like, shy, reserved character, kind of an outcast, and throughout the course of the book, like, really finds herself and comes into herself.
Yeah.
Like, on her own and with the help of Ronson, too. I literally don't remember his name until I look at it. I just remember him being a hot dragon shifter. And there's a little bit of mystery and intrigue, but it was mostly her storyline along with the nasty that, like, made me love that book.
I wish she would have decked her parents, but that's a me thing to work through. The rest of it, hot. The fact that she didn't drop kick her parents, less hot, but it's not discriminatory. It's not like gonna make me say
very
no, don't
fun
read
part
this book.
Of Bride. She does deck her parents.
Yeah.
Correct. I think that's an element. That's an element that needs to be in more books in general. Is traumatize your parents back.
Yep.
Right.
Preach. Earned. Tiff, I'm going to call your level nesting Omegaverse. So Crosshead, baby's first Omegaverse. We have like nesting Omegaverse. I'm going to give you in Heat Omegaverse.
Do it.
You want it nasty? Lola and the Millionaires, also by Catherine Moon, our queen, is Catherine. The dirtiest Megaverse book I have read. I'm going to mention a lot of Catherine Moon books throughout this episode because she just is the best. She's the best of the best. Mm-hmm. And Lola and the Millionaires is my favorite Omegaverse book just ever. This is where you kind of get into some pack territory, which means, yes, our beta. Lola is a beta, which is a little different for the genre, and it's really fun. She gets matched with a pack of alphas, a beta, and an omega, and they all fall in love with her and get it on. So it's technically a Why Choose a Reverse Harem book, too. So there's just, like, her and all of them. Her and all the guys. All of them all the time. And technically, there are two parts to Lola and the Millionaires, but you have to read them both. It's like the first one ends in a bit of a cliffhanger. Just double duty that. It's so good. You get basically every single Omegaverse trope in this book with a fuck ton of group sex and a lot of sword crossing. So you're welcome.
That first, like when she goes, when the Omega is in heat, when she goes to the nest for the first time, the like soft, cozy room where they're just like fucking for like 5 days straight. And it's like a pillow room. Mm-hmm. It's that scene where she walks into that room and everybody's really horny is like burned into my brain forever. It altered my brain chemistry.
Oh,
it's just so nice. Good.
Yeah. It also thoughts, like Crossland.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, I kind of feel like in this is maybe a subtle thing that we can get into some of the aspects of Omegaverse and kind of talk about them a little bit here in a second. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that was one of the things that Bride didn't quite lean into as much as I was expecting was the nest angle or the nesting angle. Mm-hmm. Obviously, again, it's baby first, but I was kind of like, I don't know. It was there, but it wasn't quite as much or as prominent as I expected.
Yeah, I think it's because she didn't quite have like heat cycles.
Right.
They were just kind of like
horny
for each other always.
There's
but
no,
like,
yeah.
They had it where instead she like had to sleep in the closet on a bed of pillows. Mm-hmm. Like she built her nest. She didn't want to sleep in a bed. So like she did nest a ton. That was like what the nesting was.
Yeah, I guess it was just also sold as like the vampire thing to do, which makes sense if we're exchanging the tropes as Omega. And I just kind of leaned into thinking about it as a vampire-y thing, not a nesting thing. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I dig it. I get it.
It can be both. It can be both. Similar to how...
I think that's why it works as a good exchange. Like because vampires kind of feel like that when you give that the context. So
feels natural.
It's a smart move.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of similar to how, like, it's... So the general overall Omegaverse, alpha, beta, omega social hierarchy is fake science, right? Like, it...
Right.
But you have to exchange it for this, like, idea of how human or werewolf or whatever society would look like. And also sometimes the people are shifters who are just really horny and they're the most horny being that has ever been. Like, think about
Lo
the horniest
so
you've ever felt.
Horny. Holy shit.
Truly. Think about how horny you have ever been, the most horny, and then multiply it by like 12. And then you get to a level where you're probably close to one of these characters at some point when they're feeling chill.
when they're not in heat or in rut, like when they're just chilling.
Yeah,
that's your horniest times 12. Yes.
Yes, exactly.
I'd also like to just add on the Wolfpack thing. What's interesting is not only was it debunked, period, but it was debunked by the guy who's published the study.
Yes.
Yeah,
extremely funny.
Additional note of clarification that he went, I was so wrong.
Like, and didn't he put out an apology too of like, hey, sorry for all of the garbage that has happened because of this bad study.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
You know what?
It's
I'm really glad funny. He did it, though, because if he didn't, we wouldn't have Omegaverse. So, you know what? That's, all is forgiven.
Very true.
We would still have parts of Omegaverse even without him, though. My favorite thing that I learned when we were researching for this episode is that there are like lots of different elements of Omegaverse that we have in the like overarching Omegaverse. But one of the things I didn't know is that Ursula K. Le Guin, who is a household favorite in my home, like my partner, we have a shelf dedicated to her. She has a saint candle on that shelf. He's got multiple t-shirts. He's gonna get a portrait tattoo of her.
Earthsea. Yeah.
Yes.
Love it.
Big Ursula fans in this home. Apparently, the community in the Left Hand of Darkness, the mating cycles, are part of what has inspired Omegaverse. So the mating cycles of the people in Left Hand of Darkness is partially what contributed to the idea of like heats in Omegaverse. And that is so funny.
That's amazing. That is incredible.
While we're talking just for a moment about the history, I was so interested in the idea while I was reading Bride about the origin of vampire and human relationships and like where that started fundamentally. And it turns out that it's actually mostly Hollywood with the Frankenstein movies and the spinoffs. Origin of vampires and werewolves interacting and like falling in love or otherwise trails back to 1930s Hollywood. But not earlier than that, which is crazy to me.
It's because everybody wanted to fuck Boris Karloff.
True. Why not?
Wasn't Bram Stoker's Dracula, like, wasn't Dracula human in a vampire interaction?
No, not humans, werewolves and vampires.
That makes more sense.
Humans and those creatures have been interacting for thousands of years.
Wait a second. That makes more sense. Yeah. I'm following now. But I'm right there.
It's the werewolf vampire thing that's different.
Yeah. No, that's interesting.
Yeah. That's new. Yeah.
I think as we keep talking about werewolves, I do think it's important to note that like the difference between Omegaverse and werewolf, there is a Venn diagram involved where there is some overlap, but not all Omegaverse are werewolf or shifting books.
Mm-hmm.
And
books,
not all Omegaverse are monster books. Like talking about Lola, there's nobody that's a monster in Lola. They're all just horny.
But they don't shift. Yeah.
But in Bride and Bleak Isle, there is shifting. Or in Bleak Isle, they're shifting. Is there shifting in Bride?
Yeah, he can shift.
That's right. Yes. Okay.
And she's a vampire, so she's a monster. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's a monster all the time. There's a Venn diagram, but they're not all this. They're not one in the same.
It's a horny Venn diagram.
It is. It's a Venn diagram I personally would like to be involved in.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about the dynamics between alphas, betas, and omegas, generally speaking, when we like look back at that fake science study about wolves and stuff, alphas typically socially and biologically are more dominant, more like built, jacked. They have a shorter temper and they have like natural leader instincts. Think about those like alpha like Instagram and TikTok pages, and then go like actually opposite of that, because in Omegaverse the alphas are like actually tough and good and like dominant instead of like pretending to be. Then we have the betas, who are not necessarily like a negative thing. I think that the idea of like a beta can be have some like modern day context of being a negative thing, but it's depending on the story, they're just regular people. Or they have a mix of alpha and omega traits, or they have like their own unique traits that are separate, but they're not like worse. They're not like a bad thing to be. Then we have the omegas, who are usually the submissive ones, the gentle ones, the peacemakers, very calm, very pillow princess, very chill.
Very submissive, very breedable.
Very submissive, very breedable, very cutesy, very demure. Etc.
Yeah, that's perfect description of what we're dealing with. And it's interesting how like you can have a little bit, you can stray a little bit from that, some of those specifications of each of the like types of those characters, but they're pretty standard across Omegaverse. And then the thing that gets fun about each of those types is where we bring in the relationship dynamics. Mm-hmm. So there's a few different ways that this happens in Omegaverse. There's couples, traditional couples, so that'll often be just like an alpha and their omega. There's also the like theory of mates, where like you mate for life, you find your one mate. In Bride, this is an example of like Low and love. Misery.
Yeah,
they're mated. And then there's like special perks that come with being mated. So she can take, like, he gets a knot, which we'll talk about in a second, because it's his mate that he's having sex with. Some other examples, like some other book examples that have mates in them, are The Fake Mate by Lana Ferguson. I love this book. It's Raylo fanfic repubbed, and I'm trying to get Tiff to read it, even though she doesn't like Raylo fanfiction, but I think she'll like it.
I'm gonna read it. I just get thrown off when I look at the cover and I go, oh, that's just Adam Driver. Like that, that's such a weird aspect of so many of these published Raylos that like it kind of makes me go, why is he here?
No, I get it. It is sort of like Grey's Anatomy Omegaverse, because they're doctors. Yeah. So if you think about him as like McDreamy instead, maybe that'll help you. Or McSteamy.
Yeah.
And then another book with Maeves is good. I'm hoping. I mean, every Omegaverse book is a good time. That's part of the reason why we love them. And then another book with mates in it is The Tyrant Alpha's Rejected Mate by Kate C. Wells. It says it in the title. This is a Wolf Shifter book where she's the alpha's mate, but he rejected her. And there's a lot of consequences because of that. It's nasty and it's fun. And you should read it. And then outside of mates, there's also Pax or Why Choose, like Lola and the Millionaires, which is like one Omega and just like a slew of alphas and betas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's along with Lola. Time. Yeah. I mean, like, it's just fun. Broken Bonds by Jay Bree is also like this, but it's not a shifter Omegaverse. It's just Omegaverse, Why Choose, if you're into that.
But I do want to just ask sort of maybe for like a little bit of a definition for people who may be unaware, the difference in times between like a reverse harem or sort of the more like pack like situation, just from a description standpoint. I get it, but I think it'd be helpful. My cousin writes reverse harem as a published author. So like it's an interesting delineation.
Yeah. And I
Just real fast, the way that you delivered, I understand, but for everybody else who's curious,
it but, like,
was very much giving
description
like,
to. Yeah.
Like, I have no idea. Please help.
Please help me. I don't know. Very funny.
No, that's a good question. That's a really good question. So reverse harem books or Why Choose books is based off of like a harem, which is where there's one male and multiple female partners. The inverse is there's one female and like multiple male partners. Now, the thing with reverse harems is it is only that like central Omega, if we're talking Omegaverse, and she has individual relationships with each of the other people in that grouping. There is none of the guys like each other. There's no sword crossing. They've just agreed to share. They all want her and they're content with that. With Pax, you can have some of those Pax with like that same dynamic, but the Pax that I really enjoy and love get a lot messier. So that'll be where maybe two of the alphas who are, all the alphas like the Omega still, but sometimes there's like an alpha in the pack who doesn't like the Omega, but they're mated with someone else. Like they're connected to someone else in the pack. Ooh, it's just messier.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like the alphas will maybe have multiple relationships. Maybe an alpha will have an Omega and their own beta. Maybe the beta like won't be connected to the Omega. Like it's just a messier, it's like a polycule. Like it's literally just a polycule with like even more sex. It's like really what
everybody,
it is.
Most people are connected to each other and to the main like focus. That is how I kind of.
All right.
Yeah.
Did that answer your question, Cross? Do you feel like
the question that you definitely didn't have, somebody else had?
Right. For
the listeners get it now.
I hope so.
Amazing. Well, now that we're talking about relationships, I don't know about you, Tiff, but I think we should talk about some of the sexual proclivities. Let's do it. Let's do it. I want to talk about Heat and Rut, which we kind of mentioned earlier.
Not Cross standing up and walking away from his microphone as we start talking about Heat.
Once I grabbed a beer, okay?
He was scared.
Extremely funny. I am still going to call it out. That's very funny.
God. All right. I earned it.
Oh, you did. All right. We're back. Let's talk about Heat and Rut.
Yes.
Kelsey, tell me what those are.
I would love to. It would be my honor. This is like, I'm most excited about this episode, if you can't tell. My cheeks already hurt from smiling and we're not even that far in. All right, so Heat. Omegas go into Heat where basically they are in fuck or die. Like, they are in physical pain unless they're sexually pleasured.
Which is, speaking of like things that are calls to silly, like old sci-fi things, that is like a reference back to when Spock goes through this in Star Trek. And it was because people were like, hey, is Spock gay? And the writers of the show had to be like, no, he actually has to go fuck a girl or he'll die. And they had to write that into the TV show so that people would stop thinking that he was gay with Kirk. Well. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Star Trek, starting Heat for the rest of us. I love that fact. I love your sci-fi facts, Tiff. They're so good. They're so good.
Thank you so much.
A few other little things about Heat. It can last up to a week even. Like, it could be days, it could be up to a week. And the Omegas need to be pleasured just constantly and consistently the entire time. So that's why you have these pack structures, so that you have multiple people willing to pleasure the Omega, because no one's sleeping. You're just fucking for like 8 days in a row. Great. Really fun example.
Dream, honestly.
Yeah. I'm like, that's, yeah, sign me up. Like, I can't, but I wish I could, is like really what it is.
Inspirational.
It really is. A really fun book that has an interesting like heat twist to it is Not Giving Up. It's a duo by Thea Mason. It's Olympic water polo Omegaverse.
That's so great.
And I read it during the Olympics this last year, which was delightful. But basically, Omegas aren't supposed to compete in sports because they're like, people get territorial, alphas get territorial, it's a whole thing. But she does go into heat while they're competing in the Olympics, and they have to figure out how to hide it. And it's very fun.
We're talking a lot about nodding, and I just want to clarify for anyone who doesn't know, who is listening to this is the first time, not as in like tying a knot, K-N-O-T, which may not come off as overtly clear, but if you're searching for the book title, K-N-O-T, Giving Up.
Yes. Yes, yeah, thank you that for actually, clarifying.
Yeah, that's one of my very favorite things about Omegaverse is the silly titles that have the most words in them, and they're all puns. I think that's one of the underrated...
Yeah,
it's very Chuck Tingle. That's so true. Maybe that's why I like it. No, I love the like the pun and wordplay titles. Very good.
Oh, so good. Now, on the other side of heat, we have rut. And alphas go into rut. It's a little bit different. It's not as dire. They're not going to die. They just get like locked into their hind brain and they need to fuck like real bad. So oftentimes like heat and rut, like a heat will set off a rut, and so they're like fucking ready to go. Sometimes it won't. Sometimes they're just like so feral, they like go into rut, and the Omega's like, "What the fuck do I do? Oh my god!" But that's kind of like the setup of the two kind of sexual pressures that both of these groups have. Betas are just chilling. They're just down to clown if they want.
They are down to clown. Yeah, both of them, I think that one thing, Kelsey, is that both of those tend to be, like, associated with, like, a breeding context sometimes in some of them.
Yes.
And as we all know, I don't fuck with pregnancy of books. I have DNF'd books because there's a surprise pregnancy in them because it pisses me off so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But in Omegaverse, it's the only exception. That's when it's okay.
Fair.
And partially, I think it's because they also play up the idea of, like, I guess when people are pregnant and they are, like, about to give birth, they'll go through this thing called nesting, where they'll, like, make their house, like, ready for baby or whatever. And they do a very similar thing in Omegaverse books, where, like, there is a nest created. I think we touched on it a little bit earlier, but, like, I love the idea of making a cozy fuck room. I think that sounds so fun and so cute and like such a good way to have like a marker and a specific space to explore that dynamic. I love it. So nesting is another aspect, I think, of the sexual proclivities, as you said, that I think is fun.
Yeah, I don't want a torture room. Red room from 50 Shades of Grey. I want a nest. Give me a nest.
Yes.
Fuck me until I pass out. Give me a nest. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now in Bride, there is nesting. Like we mentioned, there's a tiny little bit of nesting, but it's not for the same reasons as some of these ones we're talking about. But it is like she needs to like set up all of her blankets in a certain way. And she likes, you know, things that smell a certain way are important too.
Fair.
Oh, yeah.
When I was reading the book, and I just want to say this from like a level of taking Bride in the way that I did, I actually got the impression that it was the alpha that was nesting, given the context of Marlowe's room and some of the things that he was maintaining. But now in post, given the descriptions that you're giving, it's clear that he's doing that for her. So that's a little different and a little bit sweeter, actually, as a
team.
I don't think that was clearly explained, but again, baby's first, not knowing what's going on.
Fully. Yeah, well, she was just building her little closet pillow fort, and that's her little nest.
Her little cozy coffin to sleep in.
And then Anna came in. Liliana.
Yeah.
Aww. Really sweet.
And how do we cuddle a wolf?
Like a dog. Don't you have a dog?
No, but like it seemed like the way that they described it, they were intertwined. So like, are the legs just like this? Like they're just extended outwards at like oblique angles? Because that's the way it was described.
I assumed he was the little spoon.
Yeah, right. Fair enough.
Have either of you read the book Fangs? It's a graphic novel that's very similar. It's a vampire and a werewolf who fall in love. And there is a cuddling scene in that that I will find and send to you, Crossland, so you can have this visual.
Okay.
Cool, that is what I pictured. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. And that is exactly what I pictured.
I'm so glad. I had to bring it up. It was one of those things where I was like, wait a minute. It's entwined. Yeah. And I was like, but if you're cuddling, then like, I get it. But like, if you're cuddling legs. A wolf like that, like they're just like kicked out like little deer legs or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you know how when you see a dog just like fully on its side and its legs just, or like you pick up, like you could be a pickup, a reluctant dog and their legs lock.
And they're just like,
Well, that's so funny.
Anyway,
that's really good.
Yeah. Okay, next little bit of Omegaverse, marking. I love marking.
Stinky.
It's so good. Basically, when you're bonded, whether as a single couple, like a mated couple, or in a group, like a pack setting, the alpha bites the omega and marks them. And this will often create like a bond or a link that can sometimes result in mind reading, where like once you're marked, once you're bit and you're connected, like you have like a heightened connection.
I love marking. I think that it's so cute. I have a hot take that I would like to posit for the Twilight Council currently.
Yes. Ooh, yes.
I think
that is a present.
I think that Bella's insistence that Edward be the one to change her and that Edward's venom be the one to change her into a vampire is an example of marking.
Fully agree. Tiff, it is rare that I get a new Twilight theory in my brain. And I'm so grateful for this moment. This is delightful. I think you're totally right. I think you're totally right. Well, she says She's like, I want to be connected to you in every way possible, even the human ones, which is why she agrees to marry him. So that, and like, oh, I love that connection. That's so good.
Yeah, because like there are several other vampires that have offered to change her and that it would be safer if they changed her. But she is so like, no, I want it to be him because she wants his venom to be the one that changes her. I think that it is an example of marking.
I agree. I concur. It's law.
It's law.
The council such, agrees. Passed.
Excellent.
Third party witness.
One of the other
the
little
notary.
Literally.
Correct.
One of the other aspects of marking that I really love is that there's often unique spots. So like the neck is the traditional marking placement. A lot of werewolf books or shifter books that include this like do that. But in some of our more pack or like in Bride, he wanted to bite the back of her neck. He was just like fucking horny for that. Like he wanted the back of her neck so bad.
She wanted his neck as well.
Yeah, yes. She wanted.
She's a vampire.
But they both wanted to bite each other. Like it's like in their blood. But there's some more like creative marking placements, like inner thigh. What are some other hidden ones? I feel like Lola has some creative ones. Like some are like wrist. Like
one's
I don't
the
know,
back of her shoulder, isn't it?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Like her shoulder blade.
And then in some books, like markings are sensitive. So if you like touch them, it becomes like an erotic zone or you like have an increased connection to your alpha. And then like, that's just hot. I'm here for that.
Yeah.
It's sexy.
It is. The like slightly toned down version of marking, I think, is scenting because scenting can be scent marking as well. And that's just everybody's stinky, but in a sexy way. And so a spoiler for our next episode, we're reading Baby and the Late Night Howlers, which is a Catherine Moon. And in part of it, she is like flipping through this like book and she's reading different alpha cards for the smells. And she describes like every alpha has a different smell. Mm-hmm. So like you have to have a scent match to like connect with an alpha. And I think that that is a like fun little extra thing to put into it, because like you don't want to be with somebody that you find like stinky in a bad way.
I love when their scents are like, he smells like cinnamon rolls or like freshly mowed grass or like toothpaste, and then there's other ones that are like, motor oil. Like, Jesus.
Grease.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Crossland, do you remember the scenting scene in Bride? And can you, do you recall?
Yeah, I mean,
describe
it. You can get through the, like, so for him, it was licking, and like, that's how he was kind of replacing. Are we saying when he's like disguising her scent and like making their scents merge so that it's like a thing? Okay. Yeah. So that was a scene in which he was kind of exposing like glands and other things like that to her. He's got a couple, I think, on his neck. And then in addition, he had like one near his thumb and like his palm or something like that. And so he could lick her and then expose. And then she got like thrilled in the moment. And yeah, that was the first moment where I went, oh, this book does contain some sexually explicit content as we move forward, because holy shit, did it take a while to hit that. I was
it's a slow burn.
I was genuinely shocked at how much there was.
It's the slowest burn
up until that.
Yeah.
And not that there's anything wrong with that.
No. And that is almost more like suppressant adjacent, where like it makes you less stinky or stinky in a way that blends into others. Which is connected to scenting, and it's something that alphas do in some books to like assert dominance over other alphas. So like in the packs or like in the Y choos, it's like, who does the Omega smell the most like in a moment? And it's a way that the Omegas kind of are like, haha, I win.
And by comparison, just to kind of bring it back to the Bride, immediately, by the way, in the very first moment that they meet each other, there is a scenting that he gets in that moment. So like very quickly on their wedding night, as she like almost falls down the stairs, he grabs her, and then there you go. That's the prologue. So that's not spoilers.
You're not spoiling. You're good.
Listeners.
You're not spoiling it to me. I love that book. And if you don't read it, you can never listen to us again. Just kidding. You can listen to us as much as you want. Tiff, you mentioned suppressants, which are also something that Omegas will take so they don't smell like Omegas. That's a common theme. And there's a really common theme of, I can't let them find out I'm an Omega. I'm going to take suppressants. And then, oh no, my secret has been uncovered, which is happens a lot. And it's fun. And I'm happy about
it. It's great.
I'm very happy.
Every time it happens, I'm like, oh no, what's going to happen?
Well, as we've kind of talked about these, I think we should spend a little bit of time on nodding, because that's like,
let's talk about
the biggest part of Omegaverse sexual proclivities. I don't know if you guys remember the Omegaverse girl on TikTok who like went feral trying to explain Omegaverse, like blew up because of the way she described it. I should have saved her handle. I will find it, I promise. But I think about her every time I think about nodding, because there's just this like video of her like messy hair. She's like shaking out of stress of like, how many times can I explain this? So I'm going to try to explain this in a way that's hopefully not as unhinged, because it is a little bit weird to wrap your head around. But basically, nodding is where there is a very large bulge at the base of an alpha's penis at the bottom of the shaft. And luckily, we're in a medium where I can say whatever the fuck I want. I'm not on TikTok, so we're not going to get demonetized, is what it is. But basically, during sex, that knot will expand and lock into place in an Omega. So sometimes it happens after ejaculation. Well, normally after ejaculation. So like, or sometimes it's before. Like, there's a few differences. But basically, it'll lock into place and it'll connect the alpha and Omega for a while. Sometimes it's a couple minutes. Sometimes it's a couple hours. But you're there. You're stuck. You're locked in. This is also based off of wolf anatomy, which goes back to like that bunk wolf science. I'm not very familiar with wolf and dog genitalia, I'll be frank, so I don't know how
how accurate that actually
accurate
is.
That is idea. But that's, I think,
don't want to know.
and I don't care to find out exactly.
I'm good.
I just want my knots on humans and in the Omegaverse. But one thing that's kind of fun is in some books, only like an alpha can only knot their mate, or they can only knot an Omega. So like in Baby and the Late Night Howlers and Lola and the Millionaires, like you can't take a knot if you're not ready to or built to.
Which is also thing in Bride.
Yes, which we should discuss. What are your thoughts? Want to know about getting that knot that was on the bestseller list, baby. Let's talk about it.
Yeah,
let's talk about the single knot. I wish there was so much. I'm so, like, that book is great. I wish there was more.
Yeah, I feel you.
They do get a lot right at the end. Like, there's a lot of, like, mm-hmm. anyway, mm-hmm. I won't get into it specifically to avoid spoilers for folks who may enjoy reading through that.
No, I spoil it. We talked about it. You should spoil it.
Yeah.
I thought we were just doing no spoilers just a moment ago. I was trying not to spoil
things.
Anyway.
No, it's a year old.
Fair enough. I did want to make mention that, like, wolves don't not and dogs don't not.
No.
That's not a thing.
Yes.
This yeah. is a fully fictional thing that is generated inside of this world and universe, which is in genre. Like, that's totally cool. In something that's pretty original. Like, coming up with original ideas in fiction is crazy. And the fact that this subgenre has so many is excellent. And I think worthy of its own dissection for that. Returning to the question, though. Nodding. Was I felt like in Bride a little bit poorly explained, in all honesty. Like, I got the, like, relationship aspect of it. Like, I got the importance and the biology mismatch and, like, some of those things as it was viewed inside of the story, because it at first it was like, oh, we're not biologically compatible as we're looking at, like, vampires and werewolves. And then in the end it was like, no, very clearly we are. The whole Nate thing was a lie that he had been previously telling throughout the rest of the story. Full spoilers, so sorry. But I really appreciated that shifted, because I was like, oh, come on. Are we really not, like, that can't be the case. Like, I had a very hard, like, come on, like, get with the program. We're going to get mm-hmm. there, right? It would have also, for the record, I think it also would have been incredibly ridiculously satisfying on the other side of it to be, like, fully misled the whole book and be like, no, we're biologically incompatible. And I would have been like, fuck, you're kidding. Like, they deserve this in some way. So. But yeah, I thought it was great. I thought that it made the whole, like, conversation around contraception interesting as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At the very least in Bride. And yeah, those are kind of service thoughts.
I agree that I would have loved more of it. I mean, I always want more Nodding. I'm not going to lie. I just love it. But I will say one thing I really liked about Bride is because they couldn't do that, there was this mm-hmm. very clear explanation of, like, what we're doing is still sex. What we're doing is still pleasurable mm-hmm. and enjoyable right. and valuable to mm-hmm. both of us. And I love that message. Thank you, Allie. Like, mm-hmm. that was so progressive, especially in, like, I love a romance book that can be hot as fuck without only penetration. Like, give me mm-hmm. literally mm-hmm. everything else.
Yes. Yeah, that was good. That
part I appreciated. I appreciated she did that. I appreciated that Lo was, like, so patient about it too. He's like, I don't need that. I just want you, and I want you to be, like, I want you to be pleased and pleasured, and I want you to enjoy this. Like, I don't need anything else. And that, so that's why it was, like, a nice bonus that they could, because, like, he's like, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'd be happy if we couldn't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I still wish there was more.
Yeah. I still just want more because I like it and I want there to be more.
Well, there are two more.
I wonder if she'd do a sequel, but
I want her to. She kind of set it up like she would, but then I don't know. She's doing a lot. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
She'd be busy.
Too much.
Yeah. I'm like, that's. Yeah.
My hot take.
Yeah.
But not for this episode.
Yes. Maybe for another. We have two more sexual proclivities I think we should go through mm-hmm. that I don't think are in Bride, but we should still mention.
No, I did find the brand of the Slick Bubble Bath and Body Wash. It's from a brand called Dandelions Creations.
Ooh.
And you can get it. It's called Slick. You can pre-order it.
Explain what Slick is, Tiff.
Slick is lube, essentially, that Omega's, like, I wish there was a sexier word for secrete, but here we are. They create it themselves, and it is for the purposes of sex, for, like, pleasure and mm-hmm. for mating. And it is just, it's slick. It's one of those things that it's like, explain this word, and I'm like,
it is what it is.
It is what it is. I do like, if you look at the description for Slick and how to use it, the body wash, it does say excessive use or prolonged exposure may irritate skin and urinary tract. So don't use it for that all the time.
Oh my god!
But like the idea of it is, it's supposed to make it easier for like the Omega to take the knot. Like that's a yeah. large part of it is that it like it properly lubricates everything there, so you can enjoy the knotting all the more.
It was also really popular. I think slick is more common in male Omegaverse or like M-Preg yeah. Omegaverse, where it's not normally like male anatomy doesn't normally get wet in that way, but for Omegas
and to that degree, yeah,
they do, they get real slicked up. So yeah, that's I think where it maybe originated, but it's kind of bloomed. Jensen Ackles just needed a little bit of lube is what it is. I actually don't know pregnant. If there's yeah I don't know if there's slick in that, but I'm gonna pretend like there is because he deserves that.
He
should be pleasurable when he gets pregnant. Thank you. The last little sexual proclivity is a favorite of mine. I think it's hilarious. I'll explain why in 2 seconds. It's presenting. This is also based on like, well, it's like they say it's based on like wolf, the same wolf ideology of like when the Omega wants to be.
Yeah.
Isn't he? She presents her anatomy. And the reason I think it's funny is because I just always think of that stupid TikTok audio of like, now ass up, baby girl, with like the two like Spanx in the background. Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Crossland, do you know or no? Are you not as chronically online?
No, I have no idea. I am not chronically on TikTok and I've never been, which is
I'm going to find a video.
And only
and
so much of it makes it over to Reels. Please. So.
This is not on Reels. This is not. Right. Ass up baby girl is not on Reels. I'll find a video and I'll screen record and send it to you. But yeah, I think that's everything I know that has to do with Omegaverse.
God, I love this. Okay. I love the genre so much, dude. It's so too. Great. It's so fun. I love reading this.
Yeah, Tev, tell me why. I want to know why you love it. I want to know what you love about it.
Let me tell you what I love about it. I really, it's so fun. It's fun. It's silly. Like, it's pretty like, yeah, it's just fun. It's fun to be in this world and to like, kind of know across different subgenres and across different authors. Like, you kind of, you know the rules going in. Like, mm-hmm. you don't have to like try to mm-hmm. learn a new magic system, really. You don't have to like think that hard. It's just fun.
Oh yeah. And it's slutty. I mean, I just
it is.
It's so slutty.
It's so slutty. I think that if a Omegaverse is less than 3 on the spice scale, it's not worth my time.
Preach.
Where'd you find Bride?
I'd put it exactly at a 3.
Same.
Interesting.
The pining.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The desire.
Sure. Tons mm-hmm. of pining and desire. That's mm-hmm. definitely true.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, tons. If I'm, for me, same. I need it to be hot. And if I'm not grasping for plot, I don't want it. Like, the yeah. plot is the fucking, and I don't want like anything else.
Truly.
Yeah.
It's erotica. It's not romance. Right. It's erotica.
Like, Bride is the Omegaverse book that has the most plot in it, in my opinion.
Yes.
That I've read,
yeah.
at least. And I know, yeah. like, outside, like, world building, quote unquote, that's the most world built in the Omegaverse I've ever read. Okay. That's about as much as there. I want. Yeah, it yeah. exists. We're in it, and that's all I need. Like,
yeah. And that is
I
part
think
of what
some
I...
of that also comes from like it borrowing from genre tropes intentionally and like being from a fan fiction world, though, too, is mm-hmm. like often, as we'll explore later in the Omegaverse lawsuit discussion, like we're borrowing from The Dark Knight, we're borrowing yeah. from Supernatural. So like mm-hmm. there's a lot of like presumed world
yes.
that already exists that they don't do any work for. So
well, Omegaverse is like a yeah, it's like a societal structure that you can lay in any universe. So
yeah, right. yeah.
and also like it's a societal structure that's familiar enough that you almost don't even need to put it in a universe. Like that mm-hmm. that's part of it too. Like, yes, it's probably better if you add some additional context, but if you were just like me Alpha, me Omega, we fuck, I'd be like, let's go, 2.5 stars.
Let's
like,
fucking I'm- go.
Cool with that. But and that's because like to me, Omegaverse books are a comfort read. I like mm-hmm. we talk about this a lot with a few different like retellings or genres of like I just know what I'm getting into and it's really comfortable. Yeah. It's like why I love Ice Planet Barbarians. I know what I'm getting into. Yes. Omegaverse. I know what's going to happen. It's always a good palate cleanser read. It just tickles my brain and my lady parts, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, the stakes are so clear, and even if something insane does happen, everything's going to be fine because it's Omegaverse. What are they going to do? Are they going to not have a happily ever after? What? No, that's not how this works. There's always going to be happily ever after. Everything is going to work out fine. That's just how it works. And that's, it's nice to like dip into that kind of world. My final reason why I like Omegaverse books, I'm going back to it. I really love the titles. I think the titles are so fun. There are so many of them that are knots. And then there's some, there are books also. I need listeners, I need you to know. There is a book that I'm sure is really good. It's called Knot Again by Quanah Jackson. And the knot is K-N-O-T. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the little postcard thing I have of it because Kelsey found a little postcard thing of the cover of this book. No, I met her.
Oh, that's right. You met her. I met her and she's very nice.
That's right. I need you to know that I see this book.
Very close personal friend.
It's not Omegaverse.
No.
It's knitting. And every time I see it at the bookstore, because it's at the bookstore, because it's very popular, I'm sure. So, because, you know, crafty women, crafty bitches love a cozy read. And yes. So, like, I'm sure that it's very good. I don't knit, so I don't know that I'll read it, but I will admire it from afar. But every time I see it, I'm like, there's an Omegaverse book. No, it's not.
Oh,
I've been bamboozled again.
So Tiff and I had the same problem where it was like for at least a year and a half, I would see it. And every time I would think, oh, my God, an Omegaverse. Oh, it's not. It's the fucking knitting book. Like every time.
Yeah.
And I feel how many pictures of that book are in our group chat? Do you think at this
so
point?
So many, like at least 15, a dozen
minimum. Minimum like 15.
I feel like, Tiff, we just need to read it and do a chatty on it.
I think we should, because I'm sure it's lovely. It looks really cute and sweet. And from what I understand, it's probably like a lovely little cozy thing. But it's not Omegaverse. And it trips me up every time.
Idea. We read it. Mm-hmm. And then you and I co-write fan fiction making it Omegaverse.
That's such a good idea.
Done. Then we can be.
It'll be on the Patreon.
I'll be cured.
Yes, then I will be released. 10 out of 10. Good idea.
So good. So good. All right. Well, we've talked about what Omegaverse is, books that we like, what kind of themes make up of it. Love that. I love how I speak English. What themes are in Omegaverse? Why we love to read it. But I cross kind of tease this, but we kind of can't make an Omegaverse episode without talking about the Omegaverse IP lawsuit. And because Crossland only read one Omegaverse book, which is one more than I expected. So I'm really proud of him. Mm-hmm. I would love,
the minimum.
So brave. You're so brave. You're our sweet little Omega. Brave. We're so proud of you. Would you like to chat with us about the lawsuit and all things that come with it? Because it's a doozy.
Mm-hmm. It is. So what's fun about this is my introduction to Omegaverse. So for a very long time, I was a very big fan of Lindsay Ellis's video essays. And I thought she did an excellent job breaking down all kinds of different things, approaching and thinking about media in different ways that personally I hadn't necessarily engaged with or hadn't considered, and really appreciated that. A couple of years back, I want to say it was almost 5 years ago now, somewhere in there. She published one video that was kind of tackling this idea that was titled Into the Omegaverse. And subsequently, it was also paired with a video. Addison Kane's lawyer emailed me, and it only got worse from there. And effectively, just to kind of try to put a capstone on this and sort of an idea to boil down effectively 2 hours of the breakdown on legalese and a number of other things, the first video really discusses the idea of fair use. Subgenre in fan fiction is kind of a larger portion of the conversation. Mm-hmm. What is copyrightable? It starts off with kind of a discussion there of filing the serial numbers off. So I'll kind of fling that back before I get into all of the crazy specific details. Mm-hmm. What was your guys' exposure to this? Is this just a new thing? You know, where'd you stand?
So if you're asking about my exposure to the video essay, I think it was from you and Lindsay, because I had
Lindsay. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And I think, yeah. I don't know why it came up, but I think I talked about liking Omegaverse. I think I got into it. I mean, I got into Omegaverse, I think, because of TikTok, and I like got a few recs, and then I started reading it, and I went, oh my God, what the fuck? I love these books. And then I think I mentioned it, like it came up in Chaos. And so it was Lindsay or you, Crossland, who like told me to watch it, and it devolved from there. It was delightful. That's how I found out about it.
Yeah. It also may have been me, because I also
love Lindsay Ellis. Sorry, Tiff.
And then I second.
No. Yeah. Give Cross and Lindsay flowers for this too. Like I love video essays. Like they're my I think that they're so fun. I'm also a huge H. Bomber Guy fan. Like I love a long, thick, juicy video essay.
Give me the deets.
Because it's drama that is like so much more interesting than like drama YouTube. Anyway, so I really liked Lindsay Ellis for a lot of reasons. And I personally believe that Lindsay Ellis is part of why the Twilight Renaissance has happened, because she put out a video many years ago out a video apologizing to Stephanie Meyer for how people treated her, essentially, and was like, she's not that bad. Anyway, that's off topic. But so I watched these when they first came out. And the first one I know happened in 2020, because she was like, there's a bit of it of like, well, there's nothing else to do, so I'm going to talk about Omegaverse. And yeah, so I had been a fan of Lindsay Ellis, and then these came out and I was like, oh, I already like Omegaverse. Perfect. I know what this is. I was in the Supernatural fandom when this was first popping off. I know what's going on. Let's go. And yeah, it was really fun. And I've made my partner watch it several times too. And so that's how I kind of tied them together in my brain.
Yeah,
super,
Travis.
Super fair and real.
Travis and I watched it instead of the Super Bowl, just so you
as
know.
Nice. Right.
Again, good. I wanted to refresh. Good. I wanted to rewatch it before we recorded this.
I think that one of my favorite bits of it is that like the thumbnail for the second one is Lindsay Ellis in a wolf hat, and it says Mean Girls but Stupid.
Yes. Which or honestly something. Should have been the title. Yeah.
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 It's absolutely what it is. Like absolutely 10 out of 10. I love it.
So to give a TLDR rundown on the whole thing, Addison Cain was an author of whom wrote Dark Knight Rises fan fiction within the ABO space and Omegaverse, as well as, and I believe titled Born to be Bound in a subsequent series with a number of other novels in the space, then published by Blushing Books as well at the time. So from there enter Zoe Ellis, of whom was writing novels in her own right. She wrote a subseries as well of Omegaverse called Crave to Conquer. And then a claim was brought against her by Blushing Books, pointed at Zoe, saying that she was directly lifting plot points from Born to be Bound, and she was sent DMCA notices across all digital platforms in which her book was published, and audiobooks, etc., saying that they should be pulled down because they violated the copyright claims that Addison Cain had on... In general, I think it was the whole thing. There was a lot of like large overreach inside of this case, allegedly, according to my own opinion. And as I read it, I do want to say that Addison Cain's initial complaint, which you can read online if you go search it, you can find it very easily, is an excellent example, again, in my opinion, alleged, that it is narcissistic Olympic gymnast routine of like working your way through saying that you own something in which you have no right to own.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she was like, it's all about owning a concept. She's like, I invented the concept of male female Omegaverse, allegedly, according to my interpretation of what I've read, which is bananas, in my opinion. Allegedly, whatever.
Yeah. We're going to say allegedly like 12,000 times. It's just crazy to be like, oh, hey, this thing that started as like queer fan fiction, I made it straight.
And so I copyright that it's straight.
Allegedly.
Which allegedly is not only blatantly incorrect, of which Lindsay Ellis not only points out once incorrectly, but then points out subsequently that there was one that predated the one that she initially brought up in the conversation.
Yeah.
Like, it is a whole set of problems and a whole slew of issues. But that to say that it's also very difficult to copyright ideas in general. Yeah.
I just love that lawyers had to read Omegaverse and understand what Omegaverse was, and judges had to do that.
They don't. Also, one of the best parts of the video is the transcript of Addison Kane talking to her lawyer and the lawyer being like, okay, so Omega, I thought that it was very funny that she had people read the lawyer transcripts of her trying, of Addison Kane trying to explain that Omegaverse is not a universe like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But it is a universe. The word verse in there is doing a lot of heavy lifting. And I that's really? One of my favorite parts of the video. Yeah, it's so, good.
Funny.
Yeah, it's wild. So there are a couple of different things that apply here that I think Lindsay Ellis gets into detail on. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to bring up kind of objectively or abjectly to kind of give us a little bit of clarity here. But one of the big things, and I know that I am not the lawyer on the podcast, literally, Lindsay is in many cases, but I've read a metric ton of these cases and studied them in various ways because I really kind of enjoy the idea of exploring copyright claims on works, what is and is not copyrightable. Predominantly, a lot of that study has been done through screenwriting because that is where more often than not these claims are brought, is against screenwriting, not against full novels or novelizations of things. So often it's in relationship to film or books comparing themselves to film, but you can legally get away with so many things that is considered legally distinct in these cases for lawsuits. Similar plot points can be viewed this way, borrowing from genre and tropes and other things like that are just like very, very common. It is so to actually hit a point in which you are in copyright violation when it comes to screen or otherwise. It's really more about like duplicating a visual somehow physically than it is about a lot of other interpretations. So this is just an exploration, I think, more of the dangers of platforms on the internet and universally incorrectly handling DMCA takedowns more than it is copyright as a valid conversation.
Yeah. And I think Lindsay does a really good job talking about that in her video in terms of like, well, both videos of like one of the benefits and the negative, like the positives and the negatives of DMCAs, and how Lindsay Ellis really got away with this because of the way other platforms handled that, as opposed to the actual validity of her copyright infringement claims, allegedly.
Want to correct Addison Kane against Zoe Ellis.
Lindsay Ellis.
Zoe Ellis, Lindsay Ellis.
This is the problem too. I listened to this video and like I'm sucked in, and then at the 45 minute mark, I'm like, who the fuck is anyone? all these names. Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. It was Addison Kane who got away with that. Lindsay Ellis is a delight, and
Zoe Ellis was just writing and having fun. Yeah.
Yes.
It is also like a particular level of ironic that all of this is based on fan fiction, which is really funny that they're like, hey, we can copyright concepts that came from fan fiction. That's not how that works, but pop off, queens.
Right. Yeah. I just want to bring up to kind of like curtail the copyright conversation in large. Again, Sans Affair, which is brought up as a part of the conversation, is the legal precedent that you cannot copyright tropes. As something becomes and emerges through popular fiction and becomes a thing, you cannot copyright superpowers. You cannot copyright the idea of someone saving the day. Like, all of these things are so amorphous that it is impossible to delineate what is and is not. And so Sans Affair is one of those precedents that we have that prevents that copyrightability. So
Slay. We love it.
Love.
And it better stay that way, because I like reading the same trope over and over and over again, and no one can stop me. Thank you.
Same.
It's very true. It is also the thing that has accidentally protected AI works that have a human author. So there's going to need to be some future delineation, and this is a huge part of the current ongoing presence. So I wouldn't expect Lindsay Ellis necessarily to put out a third video on this subject, but I would bet that we will get another copyright video within the next couple of years as this begins to settle itself out.
Super interesting. AI and copyright is a fascinating conversation, and we're at the beginnings of it. So I think I know I've been trying to pay attention to that because it's interesting where it's headed.
It is extremely interesting. Yeah.
We've mostly been talking about the first video. I just want to mention the second video. Basically, Lindsay exposes all of these things, has a larger conversation about the ideas. Doesn't expose, I should say. Obviously, this was all exposed online ahead of time. But then has sort of a larger conversation. Again, Addison Kane, big mad at Lindsay Ellis for basically putting her on blast. Addison Kane alleges defamation, among other things, against Lindsay. The EEFF, of which was associated, and a couple of other random authors, absolutely of whom caught strays based on the conversation for being associated one way or another with Omegaverse, and noting that Kane generally can't grow up. She's incapable of being an adult about these things, allegedly, in my opinion. And it seems very cognizant and present in that second video as Lindsay sort of takes it step by step and just goes through very methodically and says, all right, here's the journalistic reality of these things.
Yeah. I can't believe she got
the damn baby.
Yes.
Yeah, the damn
baby. I just can't believe she got served a DMCA notice.
It's so funny.
It really is. Like, you can't make this shit up. Like, oh my God.
Some people do be people in well, the worst ways.
Speaking of fan fiction and copyright and Omegaverse and all the things, we got to have a little bit of extra Daddy Crossland time, but we're not going to not have a special segment. No, no, no. Instead, we're going to have Addie, our fan fiction queen, step in and chat with us a little bit about fanfic and Omegaverse and all the other fun things. So, Addie time. Baddie.
Instead of humiliating Cross in the Daddy is humiliated section, we're going to honor Addie in the Addie fanfic section.
Yes, Praise Kink activated. We love you. She's killing it. She's amazing, girl.
Woo.
And she's heat.
Wait, friends, thanks so for having me. Wait, Addie! I love this. It's like Addie. Daddy time, but it's Addie time. And I think that's amazing. Better. Thanks for having me to talk about fan fiction, because you know I love talking about fan fiction and you know that I could talk about it forever. And listening to you guys talk about kind of like the legal battle and also copyright and DCMA just like totally reminded me how much of a gray area fan fiction is too. But if anybody ever threatens to take any fan fiction away from me, I will be the first person at the front door being like, excuse me, nope, give back, because that's just how I am. So I feel like where we start is for those who aren't a fanfiction reader, which maybe you have been or maybe you haven't before, you probably grew up reading on Wattpad, which I think we all did. And then we moved over most likely to what you hear as AO3. AO3 is Archive of Our Own. And it is this massive database of every single thing you could possibly imagine. You can type in something so minute and so specific tag-wise and get multiple things, multiple options. And like, for instance, I love the nightmare trope. The nightmare trope is my favorite. He has a nightmare, she comforts him. Okay, so you think that there's like, what, 4 books on that for a single pairing? No, there's like 90. So to tie this back,
how many of them are Dramini?
That I have read all of them. I've read every single pairing under the nightmare trope because I just am psychotic. So I figured I would do a little research before I got on, because we're talking Omegaverse and we're talking lovely nodding. So I figured I would not look out some tropes on AO3. And here's what's interesting to me. So when you're looking at AO3 and you're searching the tag for alpha, beta, omega dynamics, and that's generally... like what people tag it as on AO3. And AO3 tags are usually, or fanfiction tags in general, are anything that a reader might want to know ahead of time. Some people are very religious and need to read every single thing about them. And then some people are like, whatever, I don't care. But a lot of people use them also as like content or trigger warnings, so they can like exclude those. So alpha, beta, omega dynamics, 231,684 fanfictions are written with this tag.
I feel like I don't look up tags right, because I looked this up on AO3, Addie, and at the top of the episode, I only found 204,000 fix.
Yeah,
I found, so I feel like 231, you're teaching me.
Yeah.
No, you're, or 30,000 have been written in the 2 weeks since.
Well, then, if you think about that, there's also then, if you think about these, most of these are probably longer because AO3 takes, or because ABO takes a minute to kind of digest and get to where it is. They're not 50, you know, they're not 1,000 word one shots, which are like one chapter like fan fictions. They're 250,000 words, or they're 300,000 words. So when you're thinking about it, there's probably millions of words of Omegaverse fan fiction in the world. So then I was like, okay, because I'm a data nerd and we love this, I was like, let's see what else Omegaverse pulls up for, if just as a tag. The biggest ones, and this shocked me, maybe not shocked me that much, but all of it was Teen Wolf, the TV show.
Wait, really? Huh. Really?
Omega versus Omega, so Styles Slinsky, Omega versus Alpha, Derek Hale, Omega versus Omega, Derek Hale, what Omega versus actors, Alpha, like Styles Slinsky. Yeah. There's every single pairing you could possibly imagine within the Teen Wolf fandom.
Damn. You know, you're right. Like, of all the media, the wolf media would make the most sense to have Omegaverse fanfic. But damn.
Yeah. Keep going. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, once again, it's the actors, not the characters.
So that's the other thing. And then the other part, and this is where it gets weird for me, in my opinion, and this is just my own personal ick. The number one fandom that writes Omegaverse fanfiction is BTS, the K-pop band.
Stop.
Oh, weird.
That's because stans are wild.
Yeah. And then it's Supernatural, Marvel Cinematic Universe, mm-hmm. Avengers, Batman, Stray Kids, which is another band, mm-hmm. Harry Potter. That one doesn't surprise me. It's just crazy. Like, and you look at relationships, and the five of the top ones are literally all from BTS. And then the only other one is from Supernatural.
Damn.
Which tracks?
There's also
Addy,
some
I need
Louis
to know.
Yeah.
Did you say Bluey? Like the kids show?
No. There's Louis and Harry.
Oh my God. It's
hilarious. I was Thank from Christ. One Direction. I was at, but there is some Bluey fan fiction.
Hopefully not.
There's some Winnie the Pooh fan fiction about honey.
Girl.
Not bad. That, I don't want to get into this. Let's go back to Omegaverse where it's safe, please.
Yeah. Addy, yeah. I need to know, have you read? Have you exactly? That's safer. Have you read any Omegaverse fanfiction? Like,
yes,
is Jermaine or ooh, tell us. I want to
okay,
hear.
So I've read one. However, one of my best friends reads Omegaverse. Like, it's like one of her top tags.
Love.
Fun fact: she taught me about Mpreg today because I was like, I have questions. She's like, I can explain it to you. Let me voice mumble you from the car. So, just, funny. So shout out to Miranda for always giving me the scientific answer. I read one single ABO, and it was because it's one of those things where when everybody is talking about something, especially in the fanfiction world, it is like, it makes you want to read it so badly you don't really care what the tropes are. So
yeah.
Senlin Yu, who wrote Manacled, which is coming out as Alchemized, mm-hmm. later this year, Traditional Publishing wrote probably, I think when I looked it up, it's the number one fan fiction tagged with Omegaverse out of every single thing that is tagged. So out of 231,000 fan fictions, hers is the top and it has over 2 million hits. A kudos is like a like or a share or a it's favoriting. It's saying good job. It has more than 50,000 kudos, 6,700 comments. It's 173,000 words, so it's not that long. And it's Jermaine, but it's done so well. It's called All You Want. I think I've actually sent it to maybe to the baddies, and I've been like, you guys should read this.
There's scenting
in it, which like, yeah. And when you tie it back to Harry Potter, like scents from Slughorn's potion class to scents as Omegaverse is huge.
Yeah, because when you like Hermione's smelling her favorite scent, in the love potion, right? Like, it's like what you smell is what you're attracted to. So yeah, that's a really interesting connection to Omegaverse scenting of like what smells good to you that you're attracted to between Omegas and Alphas. That's fascinating. That's really neat.
And to absolutely nobody's shock, Alpha Draco, Omega Hermione, done. It is post-war. It is aethier. So it's very good. I'll drop the link. There's nodding.
Is there nodding? Good.
There's just a little bit. Not nearly like other things that some people have read, but not pointing fingers or anything, but it was really, really good. And I would say like, if you are interested in reading Omegaverse, but you're more of like a Jermaine or like a Dark Academia person or whatever, this was a really good intro for me. Like this was the perfect, like setting the ground.
Yeah,
I knew the characters. I felt comfortable in the universe. I kind of knew everything. And so this was like the one piece of it. It's like when you bake cookies and instead of chocolate chips, you put M&Ms in. It's like, I know all the other control. And then you just like add the little extra.
Yeah. No, that's fun.
Well, thanks for letting me gab about fan fiction. You know, I always
My God. Duh. You're welcome anytime to take over Crossland's spot.
I was going to say, I didn't get
to have
fun of.
This is great.
What is this?
Not at all. Not this time. No. Next time.
Next time. No.
Oh, I love. Well, Addie, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
It's a good reminder. Yeah, that like Omegaverse is a structure that you can kind of put into any universe, any fandom, and just like massage some little pieces a little bit. So yeah, massage. Please drop that link to that fanfic. I want to read it. Well, amazing. I feel like Tiff and I have been just holding all of the baddies and our listeners at gunpoint, trying to get them to read Omegaverse. And it's like,
yes,
finally happening. And I'm so excited. After this, I'm going straight into more Why Choose Reverse Harem books. We're sneaking it in because next episode, we're going to have all the baddies read Baby and the Late Night Howlers, which is a pack dynamic, Why Choose, but more messy, knotted Omegaverse book.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be great.
But to close things out, Should we wrap it up with a little fun question? Yes.
Yes. Hit me, mommy.
All right. Setting the scene. Ooh. You are an Omega in heat. Your heat is strong. You're feeling it. You need your alphas to pleasure you. It's time. What are the contents of your nest? Tiff, take it away.
Yes. Okay. I think when I picture my ideal nest, blue and gold curtains with like sunshine pouring in. It's next to like a pool or a hot tub, some like body of water full of like fluffy pillows and vintage ethical furs and like super warm and cozy and cuddly. There's probably some like velvet there too. Also, there's like a stock of peanut butter pretzels and Sprite Zero and the white sugar-free Monster for energy, for sustenance as it's going. Yeah.
I love so much. I can like see it. I like the blue and the gold curtains. Like,
yes.
I'd love to just be like the cool mom from Mean Girls and be like, hey, honey, I brought snacks. You need anything?
A condom? Exactly.
No condoms here.
No condoms here.
Thank you.
Not needed.
Unnecessary.
I love it. All right. Well, my nest, it's got that, like, I'm with you with the curtains, thick and gauzy, like light is filtering through them. So it's all hazy and like,
yes,
you can see the dust motes sparkling in the air. There's just like a mountain of pillows and copious amounts of velvet. Rich, probably in red. Let's be real, just like sultry. I'd say silk sheets, but like that shit's hard to clean up and it's gonna get messy. So like cotton, baby, we're in and we're out. We're cleaning that shit up fast. The standard. But outside of the standard, some of my important accessories are Dr. Peppers. Just like a fridge full of that shit. Crispy, cold, feed them to me one after another. Dots pretzels. I'm with you on the pretzel front, Tiff. Oh my God, I'm obsessed with those fucking pretzels.
See, Knots, I told you we should have done the pretzels for the hot scale. Come on.
Next time.
I kid you not, I don't think y'all understand how much I love those pretzels. I hope Dot is getting her back blown out every night, like Omegaverse style, because she deserves it. That's how good those fucking pretzels are.
Oh, yeah.
And then probably like a cold compress, because I'm sure I'll get heated. So,
a mini split in the room.
Yeah. All right.
Great.
Crosslit.
Yeah. So, Kelsey, I think we share a lot of overlap here. But I think one of the big differences is, and this is mostly my own like inability, or rather, because I don't see colors, like dark is better, like darker is better. So I don't want the haze. I want a little bit more darkness.
I always forget you can't see color. Like, and then it comes up and I'm like, shit.
So that's, I don't like full nuts. Black shades, you know. Like I want full blackout because that's the way that I am able to, you know, sleep or comfort myself best. And you say silk sheets are a problem. I definitely understand, but talking mountains and piles of sheets, you know, so much so that you would lose whatever you need to lose underneath the pile, and it would still be there to comfort. And as far as my like fridge on the backbone of this goes, absolutely stocked with like wine bags worth of Negronis, cut bell peppers, and spicy hummus.
Oh my God. I just love that you're just drunk fucking. Like you're just
why not?
Absolutely. Blasted on Negronis. You're like, we ball. Ass up, baby girl.
Fuck it, we ball.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Yeah. I'm still here because I'm listening and I agree with Cross.
Yay!
Hell yeah.
We ball. Like, let's just send it. Let's have the Negronis mm-hmm. constantly. Like, you know how your fridge has the water tap? Ours will have the Negroni yes. tap.
Right.
Oh, there you
clear
go.
Clear ice what comes out just, of the little thingy.
What if we just mm-hmm. built a baddie nest and we had all the things? So we've got, like, yeah. Tiff and I have yeah. our fridge of Sprite Zero, Dr. Pepper, and White Monsters. Cross mm-hmm. and Addie have their fridge tap of Negronis. Like, I'm visualizing. I'm visualizing.
We have a pile of various pretzels. Yeah.
I was going to say, I yeah. would also yes. like to add club soda on a Ooh. Bunch of ice with two Ooh. Limes. That Ooh. Or like a, that yeah. or like a gin and tonic. Like that is like feel, if you have like, mm-hmm. like if you're just like, you know, about to is coming go through on. Heat Strong. And you're, yeah, I was like, and Ugh. You're just hot and a little anxious and your tummy's a little upset because we all know that that's, sorry, Cross, that's the worst time of the month. Like a little club soda with lime. And then also we would have a lot of stuffed animals. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. They'd be like instantly, we could obviously grab some magic from the Harry Potter universe because we could just be like, oh, no, they're clean. Because stuffed animals are the key to everything.
Yeah. Oop, nope, they're clean. That's so they're good.
That's it's so just like funny. How it works.
Yeah.
Prestidigitation. Yeah.
I love it. I Perfect. Love it so much.
10 out of 10.
I think awesome. We should make... Well, go ahead, Crossland, please.
Thanks, of course, to our podcast daddy, Cross of Words and Whiskey, for help keeping us on track and sounding as pretty as we look. Also, check out all of our links in the show notes. You can find our schedule, Patreon, previous episodes, and all the important socials all in one convenient spot.
Please.
And remember, hotties can read whatever they want. So chase your bliss, baby baddies.
You didn't think me, daddy?
If you're in the episode, who's keeping us as pretty as we look? Who's doing it? Well,
if I'm here and you're here, who's driving the podcast?
Oh my God.
Bye, babies.
Bye. Bye. Bye.